Long before I ever went to Rome, I had seen pictures of St. Peter's Basilica, both the facade and the interior, you know, the canopy over the altar and the big Holy Spirit window in the back. And I had begun to form a notion of what the place must be like. And I could tell that it was truly a grand and enormous place. But the first time I stepped into the basilica, I realized that all those pictures, even the stories people had told me, they paled in comparison with the reality of the place. So even though my notion of St. Peter's Basilica had been sort of on the right track, the reality of it, the experience of it, was something much, much more tremendous. Now, when it comes to the Colosseum, it was a different story. I had heard stories, of course, about early Christians losing their lives in the Colosseum, being thrown to the lions, and so forth and so on. So I had this glorious image of the Colosseum in my mind, and that you could go in, and not that you'd still see bloodstains on the floor, but that it would be this enormous place, just very sacred and very powerful. Well, I went to the Colosseum, and you can't really go to the middle of the Colosseum. You can't go into the interior of it. You basically stay around the halls and the outside. It would be like going to the McCarthy Center or Spokane Arena and not going into the actual bowl, but just staying in the corridor around the outside. So it was this huge disappointment. They didn't even have very many plaques that told the story of what was there. So my notion of the Colosseum was not at all the reality of the Colosseum. Sure, those things had taken place there, but my experience was quite a letdown because it wasn't what I had expected or hoped it would be. Why do I say these? Give you these two examples? Because our notion of something, our idea of it, has an impact on how we experience it. The way we think about something influences the way we can experience it. So today, on Divine Mercy Sunday, we might ask ourselves the question, what is our notion of the mercy of God? How do we think about the mercy of God? What do we think about the mercy of God? And how does that notion impact the way we experience God's mercy? I suspect that for most of us, our notion of God's mercy is quite narrow, quite limited. Maybe for most of us, when we think of God's mercy, we think of the fact that God will forgive us no matter what. We can sin and sin and sin and sin, do the same things over and over, and ask God for mercy, for forgiveness, and know that He will forgive us. And that's true. Even when we don't have completely total contrition, and we have some inkling that we're going to go and do that thing again. But God's mercy is great. It's boundless. He will forgive. But the mercy of God actually has a much broader scope than just the forgiveness of sins. In fact, everything that God does for us is motivated by His mercy. So think, for example, of all of the things that we are protected from. Sure, we all have our trials, our illness, or difficult situations, whatever it might be. There are evils that are present in our lives, trials that we have to endure. But it's because of God's great mercy that He has preserved us from what it could be. There's a scripture where I believe it's St. Paul, says that God will not test us beyond our ability. Well, why is that? Because God is merciful. You know, if the enemy simply had his heyday with us and tested us beyond our ability to resist, what would happen to us? It'd be terrible. But God, in his great mercy, protects us from what could be. Another dimension of God's mercy is anytime we need help, if we're feeling weak, or, you know, we have some need, some petition, some intention, we cry out to God and ask for help. Well, God answers our prayers because of his mercy. Not because he looks at our tally sheet and says, okay, you've got enough good works built up so that I will grant your request. That's not how God works, of course. God answers our prayers simply because God is so merciful. And he knows that we don't deserve his goodness. But in his great love, in his desire to be united with us, for us to be united with him, he gives us so much, and so much beyond what we deserve. There are so many different ways that God expresses mercy to us. So if our notion of mercy is simply that it's the forgiveness of sins, we may miss out on a lot of different opportunities to experience God's profound mercy for us. Now, it could be very much like the experience of stepping into St. Peter's Basilica, where we do have some inkling of God's mercy, and then when we experience it to the full, it's overwhelming, it's outstanding, amazing. And my suspicion is that even when we come to a greater understanding and a better idea of God's mercy, he's still going to wow us. He's still going to blow us out of the water by showing us the depth of his mercy. And yet we can prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts and minds by expanding, broadening our understanding of what it means that God is so merciful. So my message to you today is simple, in two parts. The first is a challenge to you. Spend a little bit of time reflecting on what your notion of God's mercy is. What does it mean to you to say that God is merciful? That's the first part. The second part is, then, will you ask God for a deeper experience of his mercy? Will you ask God to help you open your eyes to see how his mercy is present in all of the dimensions of your life? I think when we come closer and closer to having the right notion of God's mercy, then we'll start to realize how present his mercy already is. So we can rethink our thinking, come to a better understanding of the Lord God, and then open our hearts and let him astound us with the peace that he brings, not only with the forgiveness of sins, and not only protecting us from evils, not only coming to our aid in any time of need, but in all of the ways that his mercy becomes present in our lives.